This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than 3 times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,377. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk. On tap today, the return of Who Sucks Less. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, a mention, shout of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorites, TV Time with Tim.
Clack, clack.
You're going to die. Here we go, and here are your winning South Africa Powerball numbers, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Police beer shame a thief for stealing Bud Light, saying a stouter porter would have been better then. Colorado family watches as a bear kills a deer in their backyard. Mom buys daughter frozen doll and is now forever scarred. And a New York State mayor and former police chief is busted in a crack cocaine sting. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, saving money. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you save money because you're broke and don't actually have any money to spend in the first place. Sometimes you save money because, well, you're cheap or frugal, or maybe you're just smart. Whatever the reason, saving money is very often at the heart of DIY projects. Now, the problem is, just because you do it yourself does not mean that you do it right. For example, in Vancouver, Canada, a driver received a fine not just because his headlights and taillights were burned out, but because he'd replaced them with flashlights. But that's okay. A driver in Colorado, he got a fine because he duct taped a red Gatorade bottle where his taillight should have been. Very enterprising. Cops didn't think it was funny. But duct tape. Yes, a new survey found that 51% of Americans currently have duct tape holding something together in their home. Everything from plumbing to cell phones. In fact, the survey found that the average respondent had 6 or 7 things in their house that are currently duct taped. So even like right now, half the people you know, there are 6 or 7 things being duct taped. Now, of course, not all DIY projects are ghetto. If you're an electrician or a plumber or a mechanic or a contractor, look, you actually have the skills to save money. Good on you. The rest of us, well, duct tape, bungee cords, cinder blocks, milk crates, they'll continue to be what we call our toolkit. But that's what we want to talk about today. Look, you decide to make a repair or an improvement, and maybe, just maybe, you actually repaired or improved it. or you could have made it worse. You tell us. This is today's question. What did you try to fix or do yourself? And how did that work out?
Be part of the big show. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Hold the jaws, and away we go. Welcome to Season 15, Episode number 3,377. What a large and in charge program we have for you today.
Yes, indeed.
Guaranteed future repeat, the exciting return of Who Sucks Less. Steve the Thrill Hill, you bring us three stories from the news each and every week.
Yeah.
All of them suck, but it is up to us to determine, out of the three, which of the three stories suck the least. How are the stories shaping up for this week's Who Sucks Less?
Look, I'm always giving grief because I'm mean, I'm curmudgeon-y. Mike, you would agree with this. Who Sucks Less this week? The holiday edition.
Absolutely.
All right. So it's sure to lift everyone's spirits.
Okay. All right.
You know, because it all involves holiday stuff.
The holidays are coming.
Yes,
indeed. Bad stuff happens at the holidays.
Oh, Ted, you're so negative.
Talking about your birthday.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that.
Yeah.
You know what my birthday also is?
It's what? Your 40th.
Oh, man, I don't want to say it now. I'm going to sound real dark.
What?
Well, it's Christmas.
Well, unfortunately, it's Christmas. It's also the day for the highest amount of domestic violence calls.
Oh, Jesus, Dad.
Christmas Eve is?
I'm pretty sure Christmas Eve is.
You don't have a better stat about your birthday
than
that.
Well, you don't have to worry about beating anybody.
I'm just saying, we're Christmas Eve.
Bad stuff happens at Christmas. Point is, Thrill, I don't trust you.
You should. You should have just led with that.
Yeah. Okay. Who Sucks Less is coming up. We're going to talk today about things that you tried to fix yourself. There are definitely things out there that you think, you know, man, I could tackle this project no matter what it is. And
yeah.
Sometimes, as you said, it just comes down to money. And the difference between, hey, can I really afford to fix this? Or am I going to have to see if I can just patch it and see if it'll hold on for just a little bit longer?
Well, I mean, you think about age, right? So, and we've both had this conversation. Millions of people have done this. You move out of your parents' house. I can't afford IKEA. I need shelves. Well, I can go behind whatever warehouse and find the milk crates, right?
Yeah.
Or you can find the cinder blocks and find some 2x4, and it works fine. There's nothing wrong with it. They're sturdy, all the stuff. It just looks like crap, but that's what you can do because you can't afford
it. Sure. You could feasibly, honestly, a 1 or 2 bedroom apartment, as far as the furniture is concerned, get most of it at Goodwill.
Goodwill, for sure.
I mean, maybe a couch you need to buy or something like that, but as far as end tables go or any kind of lights that you might need.
Goodwill or just, a lot of times people will just give you stuff, especially when you're first moving out.
When you first move out, your parents gave you the stuff you didn't necessarily want, but they know you need it, and they know you're broke, so it doesn't matter that there's a spring coming out of the sofa cushion. You're going to take it.
Right.
Then there's a point where even Goodwill might be too much for you to spend. I mean, it comes to like either I pay rent or we get an end table. Fellas, do we need an end table that bad? Well, if you live with a group of dudes, no, of course not.
No.
I'm going to grab some cinder blocks from outside of work, and it works just fine.
Sometimes you just deal with what you have.
The pizza box partition.
I just got a brand new toaster oven, but for the last 2 years, maybe.
You have an air crisper?
Years, I do not have an air crisper. But my old toaster oven, the heating element on the top was the only heating element that worked. So the bottom didn't heat up. So when I made toast, I had to go in there and I had to flip it over.
because it was only toasting on one side.
My first thought went to your burned pizza on top and then cold on the bottom.
That's what I mean. And it, like, I couldn't make a pizza in the toaster oven, and that kind of sucked. You know, like everything I made was pretty well crispy and broiled.
Hey, look, man, in my shower, I say right now, probably about the last year and a half, you need a pair of pliers to get the water going. Yeah. Right, the handle just came off. All right, and it's one of those like the big. Yeah. Crystally looking knob kind of deals. And I know I could replace it, but again, when it comes to plumbing, I'm like, I'm just not going to do it.
That's not a cheap repair, I don't think.
It's not. It should be a cheap repair. It's really not as, it's not significant damage, just the handle came off. That's all it is. Now, the problem is, I was more than willing to give this a shot, but I talked to VD, and VD is pretty good at home repair stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I made mention of this. He's like, well, yeah, it's pretty easy to do. Just make sure you don't. And that's as much as they had to say before. I'm like, we're going to call someone to do it. But
yeah,
what I do is, instead of just having a plumber come out to do that, you make fun of me all you want. I don't care. But I'm now buying other shower heads for the other bathrooms. I'm going to get some faucets for different bathrooms. Like, look, if we're going to bring someone out here, let's make it worth our time.
Sure.
But I'm not messing with this because I'm going to flood the place.
Well, for
the last year and a half, pair of pliers, I did it this morning. You grab the pliers, are in this little basket, and you start the shower, and there you go.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes for me, if I try to fix something at home, it's just more of laziness.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You're not doing it?
I'll try to just kind of fix it so it can get by, and then be like, I'll get them in here next week. And then it's like Sunday, like, I ain't calling today.
That's the thing. When you live alone, you don't care as much. It works for me.
Now I got to ask you seriously. When you bought that outdoor grill, did you put it together?
I did.
You did put it together.
How long did it take?
Nobody came over?
Nope.
You put it all
together by myself.
You did, okay.
And when I lit it, I was scared as
I know. It's, I'm like, yeah, sometimes.
I hope I did it right.
Now, Miles, part of that, too, is I got the grill, and it sat there for 2 weeks.
Well, you thought about it.
I thought about it. Then I had a day off, and probably was about a 25-minute construction. Took me about two.
Okay.
But I put it together.
But you put it together, and you made sure you did it right.
I did, and I used the hell out of it. Now, have I cleaned it?
Okay.
No.
We head to North Bend, Washington on this one. They say maybe a point for creativity, but a driver found out the hard way his workaround for his car's missing headlights was not exactly legal. Washington State Patrol, a trooper, spotted the car on I-90 near North Bend early Monday morning, driving with what the trooper described as extremely dim headlights.
Yeah.
After he pulled the guy over,
should have got a mag light.
The trooper discovered that they were not headlights, but large flashlights that were duct taped in the spots where the headlights would normally be. The car appears to have had some significant prior front end damage.
You don't say.
And was missing the original headlamp lamps. To top it off, the batteries were dying, leading to the dim output. Johnson says using flashlights as headlights was not legal. Also not legal, driving with a suspended license, and this driver was 0 for 2, according to Johnson.
Well, we got a comment here. A guy says, Ola, I have one of my headlights duct taped onto my car right now. But at least it's his headlight.
That is correct. These are flashlights, which makes me wonder. And they said the flashlights were dim. Did he somehow hardwire where the headlights were into those flashlights?
I'm saying no. I'm saying this guy
every
manually.
Time you drive, you're not putting D batteries in on two flashlights.
That's probably why they were dim.
Look, the cost of the batteries will be enough to replace the actual bulb on the car. Because you know how fast those batteries go down, especially on like a halogen flashlight. I mean, how long you drive with these? An hour?
If this guy could do that with his flashlights,
right.
Then he would just get headlights.
That's what I'm saying.
If I can wire my flashlights into my car, as opposed, I'm telling you, this guy got out of his car, physically clicked them on, and then clicked them off when he got to where he was going.
I agree 100% with Thrill. Yeah, there's no way, like, right.
If he could do that, he'd have just gotten headlights, or just stolen them from someone else's car and put them
in. But he's using flashlights to drive where the speed limit is 70 miles an hour.
Sure.
He's on a major interstate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, like, okay, maybe you just use this to go, like, a couple of blocks down the road to the convenience store to get yourself some beer.
You probably wouldn't drive on a suspended license either.
No.
The guy's driving on a suspended license, so he already kind of doesn't care. And then, like, again, when you're broke, there's a lot of things. I had to move my house once using a shopping cart. I didn't do it because I thought it was awesome. I did it because I'm broke. I don't have a car. I can't afford movers, so there's a shopping cart. That's all.
I use laundry baskets.
Right. I mean, literally, I had to push it down. I moved about six blocks and had to push it down the hill and push it back up to the other apartment, fit stuff, more stuff in, and people laughed at me. I did not care. I'm like, I'm broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I told you, when I was a kid, the wipers broke in our car, so my dad just put a
piece of string on it.
And he'd lean out and he'd pull the string.
And pull the string.
What about that's your, as bad as it gets.
What about your topaz before it finally caught on fire and exploded and died? There was no rear view mirror on it. I do remember that.
Well, no, that had fallen. That had been about a month that was gone.
Okay.
Now, that's all.
Right.
But I think, like.
So the deal was the back window you couldn't put down as it wouldn't come back up.
Sure.
And then there was a side mirror that was missing. The rear view mirror eventually fell off. That's when I wanted to get it fixed. But yeah, that car had a lot of problems.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it had over 100,000 miles on it.
I don't think you could roll down the window on the front because it didn't have the actual crank on it, right?
Yeah, they were electric windows, dog. That was a GS.
Oh,
get
out of here.
You could, the back one, though, had a piece of tape over it.
That was ball and ghetto
to,
miles.
Like, warn people, like, hey,
right.
Don't put it down.
Sure.
Because you never knew when it was going to come back up.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, we talked about before, you know, doing the auto auction thing, and you've detailed cars before.
Yeah.
Now, typically, you know, there are some shortcuts involved. We've talked about these.
Yeah.
As far as black spray paint goes a long way.
Correct.
As far as, and this is on the interior.
Right.
With your carpets, with believe it or not, the upholstery.
Exactly.
Upholstery on your seats.
It was on the carpets, it was on the seats. Sometimes if it fit enough, it was on some consoles and whatnot, because sometimes people get some nasty stuff in there.
Yeah.
Hey, man, look, there's a couple pieces of furniture where, you know, the paint got scraped off. Like, just grab a Sharpie.
Exactly.
We could sand this whole thing down mm-hmm. and repaint. And that sounds fun if I'm on HGTV doing a competition. But in my world, I'm like, grab the Sharpie and color it the hell
in. They also might have some touch-up paint inside of that shop in there just in case somebody accidentally ricochets off of something. They just need to scrape, you know, dip a little paint inside there.
Okay. Our question, what did you try to fix or do yourself, and how did that work out?
206-421-ROCK.
I'm going to share this comment. This is one of my favorites ever. It says, I got tired of the tension rods in my shower not staying tight. So I screwed in a Snapple cap on each side, painted them, decorated them. If you look at them, you would never know.
Hmm.
I like that.
Okay.
I don't know that I would have thought of that, but I appreciate the effort.
There's nothing worse than the shower curtain actually falling on you while you're in the shower.
Does it feel so gross?
Has anyone experienced that phenomenon before?
I mean, it's the water that's
you're twisting,
off of you.
Trying to tighten it. You're like, what the hell?
I've had that. The shower I have now has like the two doors you slide.
Yeah.
And I definitely just one day, I don't know, just bumped it or something, and one came off the tracks. And now you're just dripping wet holding the door. But that's easier. You got to put it back up. But that.
Wait, you're saying, like, if you take a shower right now, you still have to hold the door?
No. I'm saying, you bump it wrong, it'll come off the track.
Gotcha. Yeah. I've got a hole in my pocket door in my bathroom that I have never repaired since 2005.
It's a pocket door.
I just keep the door open. I keep the door inside the wall.
In your bathroom? Like, upstairs?
Yeah. You would never know.
Oh, well, that's in your bedroom.
Right, but you would never know it because I always keep the door inside the wall.
But
I'm
it still bugs
it.
You if there's, like, a hole in your... Wherever the hole... Yeah. It could be in a closet
I didn't know how much a pocket door was.
They are
very expensive. I did not realize this.
Well, the problem is, if you open it, you don't see it.
I tried to patch the hole and it didn't work. It looks like crap.
Yeah, that's
many, many years ago. It looks like ass.
How many times have you hung a picture or a poster over the hole in the wall?
I can't because it's a door. It slides in.
Well, so
I kind of thought of everything. What did you try to fix or do yourself, and how did that work out? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, JR. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so... What we're talking about, I'm actually going through right now about to pick up my truck. But let me start off with, I'm an HVAC refrigeration tech, so I find myself a little handy, at least I would think so. Well, my buddy gave me some winter tires for my truck, and so I took it. I had an impact in the wrong socket. It wasn't an impact socket, it's supposed to say. I go to put winter tires on. I take the back right one off, and the socket gets stuck to the last lug nut on there. The socket's kind of stuck, so I go to grab a mallet and try to just hit it off. Well, my first swing, I hit the valve stem, and all the air came out.
So did you break the valve stem on the tire?
Yeah, right off. Yeah, literally last tire got put on, and the socket got kind of stuck sideways, and I couldn't get it off with the impact. And so I hit it with a mallet, but my first swing I missed, and I hit the valve stem. So I thought that would be kind of expensive. I ran it up to, I live in South Hill, ran up to Marner Tire, shout out to them. It was a free fix. They put a new stem in it. I got home. I got that tire on. Everything went good. I go to drive the truck. Everything's good. Well, when we got the tires balanced from another shop, the weight fell off of my back left one. So then I come back, I go to take the tire off and go get it rebalanced. The last lug nut, same thing, got stripped. But this time it completely stripped out, and I couldn't get it off, so I had to swallow my pride and take it up to Les Schwab and have him.
Okay, I was going to ask. Now, did you say your buddy gave you the tires, or he sold them to you?
He gave them to me. They were winter tires. He got them from he bought a truck, and the guy had like 6 sets of wheels.
Okay, so it would have cost you basically nothing to put winter tires on your truck if you could have done it. What did it cost you by the time that you went to Les Schwab?
It's $16.
$16?
That's not bad. That's all right. Yeah.
That's a great deal.
If you had known that, would you have just gone to Les Schwab first?
100%.
Now, are you driving with less lug nuts on those tires where the wheels are stripped, where the one lug nut is stripped?
I had all the lug nuts on there. I put them all back on, but then the tire wasn't balanced. But I live right near a Les Schwab, so it's like a mile drive with an unbalanced tire, and they got me hooked up, and I'm about to go grab it right now.
Okay.
All right.
How old is your truck?
It's 03.
How old?
Yeah, 2003.
All right. Well, all right. So, it's not too bad.
It's not that bad, or we're getting older. If I heard about a 17-year-old vehicle when I was, say, 17 years old, like, your car's ancient. Now I'm 51. Like, I got it in 2003.
Well, cars have gotten better, fine. But I was looking
sure.
at this.
That's an old car, dude.
It's still 17.
Yeah. That car's about to graduate high school.
Yeah. Well, it is, but they make cars better now. I was looking at a truck the other day just because I thought it was cool looking. I was like, damn, that's a cool looking truck. How much is that car? 62 starting out, maybe somewhere in
there. What were you looking at?
Just a new V8 Ram truck.
The price.
Zero to 60 in 4 point.
V8 Hemi Dodge Ram.
Like, it's a big-ass truck. I was like, this is badass.
It's expensive, huh?
I just didn't know how much it would cost. And I'm like, man, if you got this thing the way you wanted it, it's like $78,000.
Easily.
Yeah. So when you buy a truck, I mean, that's going to take forever to pay off.
Sure.
I mean, you never think about it. You just see one driving down the road. You're like, that's a nice truck. Damn thing's like $75,000.
I drove one last summer.
What, a big old truck?
That exact truck. I told you, the rental car place, the girl's like, we hooked you up. I don't drive a lot. I prefer a smaller vehicle. You get out there, and it's a Dodge, like, four-door.
Ram.
Right. Hemi. I mean, it's got all the bells and whistles.
Okay, yeah.
So I drive it all the way over there, show up in Philadelphia, drop it off, and I hop out, and DB's like, I can't believe you didn't crash that thing. I was like, trust me, I was white-knuckling through a thunderstorm. It was a hell of a truck, though.
In Philadelphia. Yeah.
Well, I was cutting from one part of the state over.
No, I understand. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I didn't realize you'd rented it on the East Coast, because that's a different animal as far as driving something.
But I'll tell you what, once you sit up that high and you get behind the wheel of a vehicle, like probably like your car, you don't want to go back.
No, you really do not.
You know what I mean? Like, I saw a buddy on a Corvette, right? And it was a brand new Corvette, very nice. So I sat in the passenger seat, and I'm like, this car's badass. And I'm like,
but they're so low, man.
This thing is like 5 inches off the ground. I could never drive in this position because I'm not used to that anymore. I couldn't see the front of the car. You know what I mean? Even to pull into a parking spot. I'm sure it has beeps and all that crap, but I could not see over the hood.
And I'm with you. Like, I like driving. Well, look, I'm not a huge fan of driving. So I like driving in trucks and everything.
Right.
But driving that thing, and you're right, Thrill, by the time you get close to a city and there's those little streets, like,
oh, yeah.
I just thought I was going to lose a mirror.
Yeah,
it's just different, man. Like where my kid's school is, it's a residential neighborhood, so there's little teeny tiny traffic circles and just one lane roads. And we're driving this big-ass thing down there, and you're like, we're going to hit something.
Mm-hmm. You do get more respect, though. The time I stopped at a rest area, it's like, what's up, other truck guys?
We're all truckers.
Yeah, I'm going to get some black coffee. That's a lie. Getting a latte.
Jesus. With a powdered creamer. You know, a styrofoam cup. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, God, I'm hungover. What did you try to fix or do yourself, and how did that work out? 206-421-ROCK.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You're in the men's room. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
Want to know if your favorite businesses are open during Seattle's second lockdown period? Head to KISW.com. We are open Seattle. If you're a business, you need to get anything out there. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're doing pickup curbside, or you have a bunch of different services that provide takeout for you guys.
Whatever you need, you can go there with your own business, put in your information, and let people know what the business is up to, which hours are, things have changed, and all that stuff. We're open Seattle. Head to KISW.com. All right, a question. What did you try to fix or do, and how did that work out? 206-421-ROCK.
Quick comment here. Says, some jackass smashed into my Corolla in a parking lot, knocked the whole nose off the car. I grabbed some zip ties, tied it up, drove it to the body shop.
I've seen a lot of front ends just on the side of the road. It's like the whole bumper.
Yeah.
Spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just drive along like, oh, there's someone's front end of their car.
But I also see a lot of cars where it's like, hey, I think I saw your front end on the side of the road.
Like, if that happened to you, wouldn't you just try to get out and maybe put the front end somewhere in the car so you could take it home, like put it in the trunk or whatever?
Maybe just put the zip ties in the car, because this guy's right. Zip ties, very, very, not just for kidnapping anymore.
No, zip ties are great.
Well, that's a problem. If you have any type of clip on a car, and clips hold a lot of the car parts together. If you break that clip, I mean, it's done. There's nothing you can do. Right. It's just going to kind of hang there. What did you try to fix or do yourself, and how did that work out? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Liz. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi, guys.
Hola.
So, Black Friday, my husband was looking for a television, because ours is pretty old, and he found a 50-inch, but it wasn't available, so decided we needed to upgrade to the 70-inch. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ships in, and we had to change our wall mount because the new TV was heavier for that.
Sure.
And so he took off the old wall mount with a buddy of his and went to put the new one in. The stud finder we had was broken. So the old test of put the nail in the wall and see if you hit something, that's what they were doing. And
They missed
it. Yeah, it was off.
Okay, yeah.
How many holes did they put in the wall?
They hit probably... Well, I just texted you guys a picture of the pipe that they ended up hitting.
Oh. I think Miles has a similar story. What was the damage as a result of hitting the pipe?
a couple $100 to a plumber.
Yeah, yeah. It's I've messed that one up before, too. That's
I'm sitting in my driveway with the tape and the spackle to fix the patch that we have to fix now because the plumber had to take out a big chunk of the wall.
Did your husband drop the stud finder line on you?
Come over here, baby. Check this out. You're already a pretty good stud finder.
Hey, maybe you can find one in the wall, right?
Yeah, so when we were doing it, what happened to figure this out is I ran upstairs and flushed the toilet, and all I could hear was, "Wah!" Because the wastewater was coming out the wall.
Oh, God. All this for a 70-inch television.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
We actually ended up ahead. It was on sale for about $215 off, but we ended up paying the plumber $200, so.
All right, so. Okay, is the TV up now, working, everything's back to normal?
Nope, I got to spackle that wall first and then paint it, and then the wall mount goes up.
Are you any good at spackling? Because a lot of people will spackle the wall and then paint over it, but you just paint it over where you obviously spackle.
The light hits it, and you look and you're like, ah.
Right.
Well, there's no just hiding the damage they did, so you'll see the holes in the pipe, but the holes in the drywall were way more significant than that. They're probably about the quarter, size of a quarter, or at least a nickel.
Okay, well, look, there's a few pictures of my home where if you were to take them down, you'd see where I may have missed a stud. But I've always understood that the picture, because you're always close, right?
Yeah.
So at least with the picture, I'm like, look, it covers them all up. There's no evidence that I've effed up as bad as I did.
Right.
I can live with it. And I know every picture I look at it, like, man, that picture, there are four holes.
I painted my kitchen. I've told this story before. And it looks really nice. Just painted just like an accent wall here and there. So the last thing I need to do is just, I'm going to hang the picture. I'm going to hang a picture up. This is going to be a good thing. So I hang the picture up, and I get it perfectly centered. Nails kind of having a little bit of a hard time getting in, but no real big deal. So I hang the picture up, and I'm like looking at it, centered, and I'm like, yeah, all right, job completed. This is cool. Looks much better in here now. About a half an hour goes by, and I walk by again, and I see this small trickle of water just dripping down the middle of the picture. And I'm like, what in the hell is that, you know? So I take the picture off the wall and look at the nail, and the source of the water is where that nail hole is. I'm like, I'll be damned. And it's right at my eye level. You know,
right
where you're supposed to hang the picture. Right at eye level. And I pull that nail out, and like a water pick, this shot of hot water hits me right in between the eyes. It felt like a laser beam.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it was so tight. And it was so powerful. And I was like, and then I didn't know what to do. So I couldn't, I put my thumb over it. I couldn't do anything. You know,
how long are you standing with your thumb over it? Because you know at this point, this is not the solution.
Here is what's going on in my house. My hot water heater also heats individual rooms.
Okay.
So there's these little different
tubes and all that kind of thing.
Basically, what it is, it's a garden hose that goes up through the wall instead of, you know, copper piping. Well, I had punctured that damn thing with a nail. And I mean, when this guy comes to repair it, he's got to cut out, you know, a 2-foot by 2-foot square hole so he can get in there and patch the pipe up. Well, now I've got to drywall. I mean, plumber's not going to come and drywall.
Well, of course not.
You know what
I mean?
He's
a plumber.
Yeah. So
I'm not a drywall guy.
And I'm telling you what, there is nothing more difficult for me to figure out than how to patch drywall. That is the one where I'm just like, oh, no, because I'm going to make it look like crap. It never fails. I had this this one place I lived in that had textured walls.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe,
you
know.
What do you mean by textured walls?
They have like a coating on them that makes them look bumpy.
It's your average wall. When you look at almost any wall, it's pretty much a textured wall. It's just a spray they put on. If they're building your house, when they put the wall up, unless it's pre-done, but it's just a smooth piece of wood, right? And then they spray this texture on it and then paint over it. And mm-hmm. it's pretty much a standard wall you see.
But you got to mimic that texture. So they have these spray cans. You don't know how heavy the stuff's going on.
Yeah, right? They're better at it than the average
person.
Yeah,
exactly. You use and do it
all the
time.
That's a lot of texture
I know how to do is but I'm like, now I have like a mountain range.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's on a topographical wall.
And then if you stand it and it flattens it all out, it looks different. You're like, and then you start over again and it just keeps getting worse.
Right.
What did you try to fix or do yourself? How did that work out? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So back in high school in the 80s, I hung around with three other guys. So it was four of us together. And we had the one guy, you know, he's always that dude. And my one friend owned a 38 Dodge, and it was pretty much stock. Windshield wipers, of course, didn't work. So the one guy, we would roll down the window on a rainy day on the passenger side, open up the wing window, and he'd loop his arm through so he'd hold on by his elbow there and operate the windshield wipers by hand while standing on the running boards outside the car.
Good God, man.
That's insane.
How long did he do this?
What's that?
How long was he doing this?
Let's see. He was a senior the year this happened, so it was generally, and we would switch cars between us, so it was about every, at least once or twice a week he would have to do it.
Damn, man.
Yeah. I had a buddy who had a string for his clutch. It was basically like
a string?
Like a bungee cord that he tied up. You know what I mean? You look down and there's a hole in the floorboard and here's this string with a knot on it.
Like, what's that?
That was basically like his clutch cable. What did you try to fix or do yourself? How did that work out? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jared. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
So, maybe back in high school, I went to a buddy's house for like a little party or get together. And we were, you know, his parents are very strict and they were out of town for the weekend. And we were wrestling around in the house, you know, plus we had been drinking and stuff like that. And we were wrestling around the hallway and I stood up and my shoulder bumped one of the pictures off of the wall. And when the picture fell, the corner of the glass, like, had a huge crack on it. And so his parents were coming home the next day, and we tried taping it up and tried to, like, hang it back on the wall and, you know, act like nothing ever really happened. Well, the next day, the parents come home and find it, and we ended up getting in some pretty big trouble. I couldn't come back over for a while after that.
Yeah, I figured
you tried to tape it?
Yeah, I had to tape it.
How did that work out?
It looked horrible because we had been drinking pretty heavily, like when it happened. So
yeah, okay. I mean that's why he taped it.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the problems when you try to do repairs when you're drunk. Because one, you have the courage and the belief that I can fix this, but as a guarantee, you're not going to do it well.
You can paint high, I think.
Yeah, I've painted high. I used to paint the inside of Chi Chi's. Well, keep in mind, they would ask me for extra money, lock you in overnight, just kind of repaint the inside of the restaurant. No worries. I'd always do it with this guy, Bob. Bob would bring a ton of weed. We would get stoned, go to different dining rooms, and you talk about precision. Although, and this is true, he We got really, really stoned. There's like three different dining rooms at this Chi-Chi. So, again, we're high. It's precision work. We got music playing through like the speaker system they have there. We regroup like once every hour and a half, just kind of check on each other. And I walk into the back dining room. And while he did a fantastic job, it's like, Bob, I don't think you're going to be cool with the ceiling-to-floor lightning bolt that he put down the middle. He was just stoned and decided to do it. And I'm like, I think it looks cool, but I don't think Chi-Chi is going to be down with this, bro. Right,
exactly. Yeah, and I think you could have a couple beers, Peyton, but it sounds like they were already partying and then tried to fix something.
Yeah. Do you guys ever play a little do-it-yourself doctor, so to speak, as far as trying to self-diagnose what's going on before you actually go and seek medical attention?
Self-diagnose, no. Injury, depending on the severity of it, I'll do it myself.
My last three cuts have been super glued.
Yeah, super glued.
Well, right. I mean, I'm a thrill. Like, a cut or something probably should, right? Like, the last cut I had, I didn't bother to get
it. If it doesn't get infected, I'm like, whatever, man. And honestly, I got that just working in kitchens. You're always going to cut yourself. You're always going to burn yourself. And there's zero sympathy to be had, you know, unless you face-plant into a deep fry. But, I mean, when I'm first working in restaurants, you know, I've got this massive cut on my hand. Everyone's like, yeah, so much. Now I'm bleeding, man. They're like, duct tape and a paper towel, shut up and get back to work.
I tell you, that is it. Unless it's really urgent, I give it 24 hours to try to figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, because I think that's the typical guy thing.
Like when I broke my ribs, I was kind of like, yeah, should I go to the doctor or not? The first time I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, it says here that if things get bad in 5 hours, then that means that the ribs could have punctured something, done something internally.
But isn't that the real thing with breaking a rib? Because the doctors can't do anything about it. All they can do is see, essentially, like you said,
and then
if you didn't puncture along, that's good news. But that costs you thousands of dollars for the doctor to
get x-rayed and everything else.
I can't do anything for it.
So I basically just sat there and just waited for like 5 hours, 6 hours, and nothing happened. And I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to go to the doctor then. So then I kept reading about it, and I just determined that I was going to let it heal on its own.
Yeah, I mean, but that's it, right? I mean, doctors are like, well, you know, I can give you a pad to wear around it.
But this is not intelligent. We, you know, like, it's different to be thrust into a situation. Obviously, there's a lot of people now who are basically do-it-yourself teachers for the first time in their life.
Yeah, there's a lot of
that's something that just kind of has to happen. But, you know, medically speaking, that's kind of a risky venture. Like, what is that bump?
Well, that's a lot different, you know, because being a teacher, and it depends on the grade, but like with my kids, it's elementary school, so as far as they know, I still know everything, because this crap's easy. I'm not a doctor, so if you're like, all right, I got this bump on my arm, which I don't care. The problem is, it was considerably smaller yesterday. I'm going to give it another day.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a different color than it was 2 days ago, and it's bigger than it was even the day before.
That's what I'm saying, like blunt injuries, you shouldn't, and I mean, look, I've done it more than anybody, right? I don't have to go, right? But, yeah, like, if it's like, something growing on your body or, like, a medical, like, issue, you know what I mean? You got
pop it. See, I pop it.
Or something's, I don't know.
Have you ever lanced anything on your own?
Ingrown. Yes. Ingrown nails.
Ingrown nails you lanced.
Ooh. Does that hurt?
Like an ingrown fingernail?
Yeah.
You heat up a pin and then scrape it out.
How about warts? Have you ever burned off your own wart?
I've never had a wart.
I've done that before.
And what do you burn it with? I mean, just...
I heated up a coat hanger over a candle, right? And then I sterilized it first, and I had, like, a plantar wart on the bottom of my foot. And I basically just took that thing, and like you were branding yourself...
Sure.
I just went... And I did it, like, 4 or 5 times.
I will say this.
And then the thing finally went away. Because the last time I got a wart someplace, they burned it off.
Right. I mean,
so
it's the same
thing. So I just figured, hey, you know, I can do this.
Well, remember the Dr. Scholl's had that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
That you could put on and it would burn it off. So I had a buddy and he comes out of his bedroom and his hands like look awful. And it's like burning. And I'm like, what did you just do? And he's like, I was hammered and I tried to put the Dr. Scholl's on. Oh, but it was like burning. He got it all over his hands.
Right.
How long are you supposed to leave it on?
Because not mean, long, you're just supposed to put like a drop or two. It wasn't like his hand, but there was little bubbles of where his hand was burning.
I will say this,
it was gross. And it was also one of those like deals where it was like the middle of the day. He must have been tailgating or something.
Right.
Like, what you been doing?
I do believe a good DIY tool when you are not competent to do things, coat hangers. So you got duct tape.
Yep.
Wire coat hangers. So right now I have almost all plastic hangers.
That's how I tried to snake my drain when it got
gone. So I have almost all plastic coat hangers just for my clothes, but I keep two or three around because every once in a while there's a situation your kid creates where you're like, this calls for a wire coat hanger. In fact, Ted...
I did it at your house.
Yeah, he plugged on my toilet. This is years ago, and we had moved... we've been there maybe a month, whatever. Ted just says, do you have a plunger? Now, you don't have to ask why. It is understood what the situation is. I'm like, man, I don't. How bad is it? Ted's like, oh, it's bad. Do you have a coat hanger? I'm like, I do. And you worked your magic.
Yeah. I have rebuilt the interior of a toilet before, and I did it right. Like, you know, where the little ball is and all that stuff. And I put a brand new one in, put a new handle on there, all the things. And when it worked, I was so proud of myself. I just sat there and kept flushing the toilet. I was
like, this is amazing. This is amazing. I didn't F this up.
Were you stunned that it actually worked?
Yes. I was stunned that I didn't mess the thing up.
What did you try to fix or do yourself, and how did that work out? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so this is like 25 years ago. I was working on a dredge down in the Gulf of Mexico, which is a ship that digs the dirt out of the bottom. Anyway, I was down in the hole. I was a welder. I was making some stairs, and there was another old guy working beside me, and he was a painter, and he was using a needle scaler, which is a thing that removes paint and rust. This whole boat was just like a floating piece of rust. But anyway, he's down there needle scaling, and all of a sudden, he's needle scaling the hole. And that needle scale gun goes right through the hole. The water just comes rushing in. It's about the size of a beer can, the hole.
So what do you do?
Well, I was freaking out. I had only been on this job for a few months, but this old guy, he was from the Caribbean somewhere. He just got out very calmly, walked over to his toolbox, grabbed a wooden mallet and a big giant, like a cork, but it was made out of wood. Just pounded it in there.
That's
on
it.
His way.
So, then the dredging boat just kept going?
We kept going for like 2 more weeks, and then we went to dry dock, and they did a bunch of metal plate repairs.
Flex seal.
Right, exactly. Like, no. Yeah.
Because you see people who
redo boats.
Sure.
And I just think to myself, like, I am not confident that this is a good DIY project. You know, like, not for me. If you know what you're doing, that's great. Like, I'm going to buy this old boat. I'm like, oh, man.
No. It depends. This midlife crisis, you're buying a boat that you're going to redo, or you know how to redo boats, and you're getting a deal. There's a difference. I had an old neighbor, this guy Bob, great dude, worked at Boeing. He made his own plane, but I don't know that it looks necessarily like a plane. It'd be more like a plane you'd see in a Road Warrior movie.
All right, but it's like a go-kart that flies.
But he buzzes this thing around all the time. And he's always like, hey, man, come to the property. He lives up north, so he's got, you know, a huge acreage. Come up north, man, we can fly around. And I'm always like, I will say this. If I were to trust anyone's man-made airplane that they built themselves, because they're smoking ribs, it would be him.
Wait a minute, he's going to smoke ribs and then you can go for an airplane ride?
Yeah, he built his own airplane.
Bro, this guy,
you got to do that.
When he used to be my neighbor, like, he was constantly smoking ribs or smoking fish that he caught, and then, like, building something in his garage. It was, he brewed beer, built
this
planes
and go-karts.
This
is the king of DIY, man. That would be, if I could do anything, it would probably be the ability to grow good weed and make beer. Just because those are two things that, you know.
He could probably make his own acid.
But if I had a do-it-yourself kit, and I would. The thing is that I know for a fact how much time is involved to try to make beer.
Yeah, I'm impatient.
If you make one little wrong step, like my buddy tried to make beer, two cases were blowing up in the basement.
Right? Yeah.
They were popping because he got air in the line, or I don't know what the hell the deal was.
Exactly. If you don't know what the problem is, you shouldn't do it.
What did you try to fix or do yourself? How did that work out? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.